Lina had been to the outer border of Ember. She had stood at the edge of the trash heaps and gazed into the darkness beyond the city, the unknown regions. No one had ever gone far into the unknown regions, or at least no one had gone far and returned. And no one had ever arrived in Ember from the unknown regions either. As far as anyone knew, the darkness did go on forever. Still, Lina wanted the other city to exist. In her imagination, it was so beautiful, and it seemed so real. Sometimes she longed to go there and take everyone in Ember with her. But she wasn't thinking about the other city now. Today, she was happy to be right where she was. She set Poppy on the couch. "Wait there," she said. She went into the kitchen where there was an electric stove and a refrigerator that no longer worked and was used to store glasses and dishes so Poppy couldn't get at them. Above the refrigerator were shelves holding more pots and jars, more spoons and knives, a wind-up clock that Granny always forgot to wind, and a long row of cans. Lina tried to keep the cans in alphabetical order so she could find what she wanted quickly, but Granny always messed them up. Now she saw there were beans at the end of the row and tomatoes at the beginning. She picked out a can labeled baby drink and a jar of boiled carrots, opened them, poured the liquid into a cup and the carrots into a little dish, and took these back to the baby on the couch. Poppy dribbled baby drink down her chin. She ate some of her carrots and poked others between the couch cushions. For the moment, Lina felt almost perfectly happy. There was no need to think about the fate of the city right now. Tomorrow, she'd be a messenger. She wiped the orange goop off Poppy's chin. "Don't worry," she said. "Everything will be all right." The messenger's headquarters was on Cloving Street, not far from the back of the gathering hall. When Lina arrived the next morning, she was greeted by messenger captain Alice Fleary, a bony woman with pale eyes and hair the color of dust.
"Our new girl,"
said Captain Fleary to the other messengers, a cluster of 9 people who smiled and nodded at Lina.
"I have your jacket right here," said the captain.
She handed Lina a red jacket like the one all messengers wore. It was only a little too large. From the clock tower of the gathering hall came a deep, reverberating bong.
8 o'clock,
cried Captain Fleary. She waved a long arm.
Take your stations.
As the clock sounded 7 more times, the messengers scattered in all directions. The captain turned to Lina.
Your station,
she said,
is Garn Square.
Lina nodded and started off, but the captain caught her by the collar.
I haven't told you the rules,
she said. She held up a knobby finger.
1, when a customer gives you a message, repeat it back to make sure you have it right. 2, always wear your red jacket so people can identify you. 3, go as fast as possible. Your customers pay 20 cents for every message, no matter how far you have to take it.
Lina nodded. I always go fast, she said.
4, the captain went on. Deliver a message only to the person it's meant for, no one else.
Lina nodded again. She bounced a little on her toes, eager to get going. Captain Fleary smiled.
Go,
she said, and Lina was off. She felt strong and speedy and sure-footed. She glanced at her reflection as she ran past the window of a furniture repair shop. She liked the look of her long dark hair flying out behind her, her long legs in their black socks, and her flapping red jacket. Her face, which had never seemed especially remarkable, looked almost beautiful, because she looked so happy. As soon as she came into Garn Square, a voice cried,
"Messenger!"
Her first customer! It was old Natty Prine, calling to her from the bench where he always sat.
"This goes to Ravenette Parsons, 18... Silverton Square," he said. "Bend down."
She bent down so that her ear was close to his whiskery mouth. The old man said in a slow, hoarse voice,
"My stove is broke. Don't come for dinner. Repeat."
Lina repeated the message.
"Good,"
said Natty Prine. He gave Lina 20 cents, and she ran across the city to Selverton Square. There she found Ravenette Parsons also sitting on a bench. She recited the message to him.
"Old turnip head," he growled. "Lazy old flea face. He just doesn't feel like cooking." No reply.